This is episode 25 of Everyday Wellness. Are you sad? Using holistic lifestyle medicine strategies to treat seasonal affective disorder. Let's get started.
Welcome to Everyday Wellness. Wellness is the result of the decisions that you make every day. It's your mindset and the thoughts you believe. Wellness is the food you put in your body and the relationship you have with yourself and others. Wellness is your work and meaning. Join us on Everyday Wellness as we explore ways that you can choose wellness today. Hello, everyone. In today's session, we're going to talk about seasonal affective disorder and or the winter blues. So this time of year, it's common when many people feel a little sad, a little under the weather, a little less motivated, and it can be written off as just this is what happens, or we can kind of quote unquote diagnose it as seasonal affective disorder, or we can just call it the winter blues. So Cynthia and I are going to talk about the definition, kind of the specifics required for the diagnosis of it. We're going to talk a little bit about the contributing factors, and then most importantly, what we can do to treat this. So I think we can start by thinking about the diagnosis. And I was actually surprised to hear what the diagnosis entailed. I have this love-hate, mostly hate relationship with diagnoses, and it's because I think it puts people in a box. It mm-hmm. often gets people to believe that they are that label or that disease or disorder rather than being more proactive and empowered to do something about their symptoms. But according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is the DSM, it's sort of the Bible for diagnosing mental issues, that indicates that you need to have a series of symptoms such as having problems sleeping, changes in eating patterns, low energy, less connections with your friends, feeling more irritable, and on, all of those things that we think about when we think about someone feeling kind of depressed. But it indicates that you have to have that feeling, not only this current season that we're in, but for the preceding two seasons. So it's a pretty hefty requirement in order to officially meet the diagnoses. But I say, why bother or why try to meet the diagnoses if we have many of these symptoms? They're mm-hmm. no bueno anyway. Like, let's do some things to feel better. I'm curious about your take on that, Cynthia.
Yeah, you know, being Western medicine trained myself, that putting everyone in a box, mentality, I think missed opportunities with our patients. So obviously we want to remain attuned to symptoms as people are experiencing, but also recognizing that, you know, if someone goes from feeling great in the summer, you know, longer days, it's warmer, to all of a sudden, as soon as fall and winter hits, you know, they start to feel differently, that we need to take that, you know, really seriously. And it was interesting to read that 10 to 20% of recurrent depression is seasonal depression. So it is a real issue when you think about the net impact of those that are dealing with depression. And what was also really curious to me, but makes sense, is that the higher in latitude you go, the more prevalent it is. And there's also, interestingly enough, if mom or dad or brother and sister have seasonal affective disorder, you are more likely to have it. So there's definitely an inheritable component to this that can definitely make it more prevalent.
Yeah, I think just similar to other mental type issues, there's mm-hmm. definitely a genetic component and how it's expressed. So you might have the genes, but you also have the propensity for seeing your mm-hmm. parents act in a certain way with those genes. So I think it's definitely both. And when I was pulling together information, I found that with regard to the latitude, Seattle is 7 times more likely to have people diagnosed with seasonal affective disorder than Miami, which, you know, it totally makes sense if we think about how important the sun is to this. And so when we're thinking about this, we talked about some of the symptoms that an individual can present with, including low energy, feeling depressed, changes in appetite, feeling agitated, feeling hopeless, oversleeping, undersleeping, appetite changes, weight gain, tiredness, or low energy. So
I know. It's a lot.
Right. It's a lot, but it could also be part of a number of other issues. So I think it's important to see your physician so that they can do some testing and rule out things like hypothyroidism, autoimmune conditions like Hashimoto's, maybe even heavy metal issues or adrenal fatigue. And I'm curious if you saw this in any of your clinical practice.
Oh, yeah, all the time. And generally, people were pretty aware. You know, they would say, you know, I wake up and it's dark. I go to bed when it's dark. You know, they just feel like they want to hibernate. They want to sleep more. They want to carb load. Yes. And I felt like, you know, where I live, it's a pretty affluent area. So I think there was some degree of awareness of the fact that this was very cyclical for them. What I found really interesting was that, you know, when I would talk to them, and obviously in cardiology, I wasn't addressing this specifically, but I would mention to them that, you know, there's some impact of the retina. So the eye and light therapy and things like that can be so profoundly beneficial. And how, if you're not getting enough stimulation. So I would say to them, even if it's not super warm outside, you should get outside. You need some sun exposure. It's important for that, you know, hormone synthesis between serotonin and melatonin. Maybe not using all those big hormone words, but just explaining to them that their body needs some exposure to light beyond just being in fluorescent lighting all day long.
Absolutely.
And, I do recall, you know, the years that I worked as an ER nurse and you would get up and it was dark and you'd come home and it was dark and you worked, you know, in an ER, so there were no windows. You just kind of felt like you lived below the ground. You felt like a mole. That was what I used to say. I feel like a mole. And that's how patients would sometimes, you know, would articulate to me that they just didn't see sunlight seemingly for months on end. So you can really appreciate that as a healthcare provider, and then also just as a human being that, you know, a lot of us just don't love the way we feel in the winter colder months. And certainly Mighty Maca is a superfood drink mix full of 30 plus natural ingredients. And it was formulated by Dr. Anna Kabeca during her healing journey. Mighty Maca Plus ingredients, which include nourishing ingredients like organic maca powder, turmeric, quercetin, broccoli, parsley, trans resveratrol, pomegranate extract, and more, were carefully selected for immune support to sustain energy, provide mental clarity, and improve recovery. It also tastes delicious. It supports healthy detoxification and alkalinity in the body, balances hormones, fights free radicals, and neutralizes lactic acid, all while increasing your energy and vitality. It helps improve your digestion and reignites your libido. It's a powerful superfood drink mix that needs to be part of your daily routine. And Dr. Anna is offering my listeners 10% off your first purchase by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. That's 10% off your first that's 10% off your first purchase by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. It's delicious and nutritious. Consuming Element on a daily basis is one of my favorite ways to take care of my health. And we know that by consuming proper amounts of electrolytes, it can contribute to quality sleep, which is critical to all of my perimenopause and menopausal patients and clients. We know that magnesium increases a neurotransmitter called GABA that is known for producing calming effects. And consuming adequate levels of sodium can help you sleep through the night because low sodium levels increase cortisol and adrenaline. Additionally, if you are intermittent fasting, it's important to understand that when you fast, two things can dehydrate you. Number one, if your insulin levels remain low, it can signal to our kidneys to excrete more sodium or salt, a process called naturesis. And as glycogen or stored glucose is broken down, the water left over from the glycogen breakdown is urinated out. So if you want to take care of your health in one of my favorite ways, you can consume Element electrolytes. My favorite flavors are grapefruit and citrus, but there are many others to choose from. And if you go to drinkelement.com/Cynthia, you can get a free sample pack to try them out on your own. Again, it's drinkelement.com/Cynthia for your free sample pack where you can try all of their flavors. I don't live in Minnesota and I don't live in, you know, upstate New York, and I'm not in Canada where it's certainly much colder. But I think for people that experience four seasons, they are probably pretty attuned to how they physically and emotionally feel as they make those seasonal transitions.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, sunlight is a huge factor, and the research shows that being exposed to the sunlight, especially in the morning, or even light outside, even if it's not a sunny day per se, really helps with resetting our circadian rhythm, which is how our body knows when to wake up and when to go to sleep. And along with that, the sunlight also affects our production of melatonin, which is associated with sleep, and serotonin, which is associated with mood. So right there, we just hit about five of those 15 symptoms. Just thinking about serotonin and melatonin. And then we know that when we're not getting as much sunlight, we can't produce as much vitamin D. And so that's another huge piece, another huge contributing factor just from the sunlight piece alone.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because I'll have, you know, patients or clients that would mention that they were craving carbs. And I would explain to them that, you know, when they eat carbohydrates, it helps raise their body's neurotransmitter serotonin, which is that kind of sometimes feel good hormone. But we need serotonin to convert to melatonin, which is secreted by an area in the brain called the pineal gland to, you know, let our bodies know that it's time to go to sleep. And it's involved intricately in that circadian rhythm. And so the circadian rhythm, just to kind of backtrack, is associated with cortisol. And so cortisol is secreted by the adrenal glands. And it's a hormone that we all have, unless we have Addison's disease, which is what President Kennedy had many years ago. And so cortisol is highest in the morning. It ebbs and flows throughout the day, and it's lowest at night. Ideally, that's what it should look like, which is not to suggest there aren't people that have adrenal health issues that may not have that kind of perfect pattern. But we know and we recognize that, you know, the carbs that we eat are intricately involved in serotonin and melatonin. And so what's interesting is what I oftentimes will suggest when we're touching on, you know, what are some of the things they can do. I'm like, carbs are fine, but maybe have some protein with your carbs so that, you know, there's an amino acid called tryptophan, and that will actually kind of help escort those amino acids, and carbohydrates will help, you know, get that hormone synthesis to occur more readily. So when people say they're craving potatoes and they're craving, you know, sweets, I mean, there's legitimately a reason why their body, hopefully not the sugars, but there's a reason why their body is going to gravitate towards those kinds of foods in colder winter weather, in order to kind of stimulate that hormone synthesis. But it's not an excuse. Let me just be upfront. It's not an excuse to go overboard with sugary sweets. That's not at all what I'm saying.
Right. So we're talking about listening to your cravings and desire for more carbohydrates, but fulfilling those desires in more of a whole foods way. Mm-hmm. And that also includes protein and some good healthy fat, too. Anything else to say about nutrition? Oh, also, I think it's important to drink enough water, because we know that even small levels of dehydration can produce big changes in our mood, to include irritability, sadness, fatigue. So in the winter, I don't want to drink as much cold water. So I end up drinking hot herbal tea. So that's one way, or hot water with lemon, to get in the fluids without being cold.
Super smart. Now, I'm kind of one of those weird people that I actually let my water sit out on the counter because I don't like to drink it cold, especially in the winter. So I will fill up like filtered water, and I'll let it actually sit on the counter for the day, because then I'm very attuned to how much water I've consumed, but it also, then it's not super cold. And I'm not an ice cube person. I don't like really, really cold things just in general. And to me, it just reinforces that I'm already cold to begin with. So, warm fluids are great. You know, if you enjoy herbal teas, I definitely do that too. But then, you know, I get distracted, and next thing I know, I've got cold tea. So I'm constantly that person that's, rehydrating or trying to reheat things, which is always, my husband's like, why do you even drink warm food, liquids? I'm like, I don't know. I try. I just never finish them in a timely basis.
My tea kettle is like always on. So I'm the same way. I like to have my hot liquids hot.
Yeah. And I think it's more I actually wrap my hands around the cup, and then it's warm, that whole ritual.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. All right. So we're talking about eating healthy whole foods to include mm-hmm. some good carbs and protein and fat. And, you know, I think another thing that's important about the protein piece is that tryptophan is also a precursor to serotonin. Mm-hmm. So we need that amino acid to make these good feeling hormones.
But I think there's this misnomer that everyone thinks they just eat a pound of turkey and that's going to somehow make good. It. And I'm like, it's a little more complicated than that. And,
right. And
you know, the hormone thing is something that I think is really fascinating. But, you know, do you find yourself struggling to get a good night's sleep? If so, you may be dealing with a hidden mineral deficiency. It is not at all uncommon in perimenopause and menopause to deal with sleep challenges. And we know that one of many contributory reasons for poor sleep can be a reduction in specific minerals that help regulate sleep quality, including magnesium, which is involved in GABA, which is our body's main calming neurotransmitter. We also know that we need potassium to create melatonin. And this is a hormone that is a master antioxidant, but is also utilized to help induce sleep. We also think about things like zinc, which can balance excitatory neurotransmitters like glutamate. And if it's overactive, meaning if your glutamate levels are too high, it can prevent your brain from becoming more relaxed and inducing sleep. And lastly, selenium increases both our deep sleep and sleep duration. All these minerals matter a lot for sleep, and any imbalances or deficits can have a major impact on the quality of sleep you get each night. And that's why I love Beam Minerals. They offer a full spectrum mineral supplement that gives you every essential mineral your body needs in the right doses, all in a highly absorbable liquid form. All you do is take a shot of Beam Minerals about an hour before bed. Don't worry, it tastes like water, and you'll replenish all of your body's minerals in about 30 seconds and give your brain what it needs for deep restorative sleep. I've been using this product over the last several months. I've really been impressed with the improvement in my sleep metrics, which I like to share on social media with my followers. And if you want a simple way to improve your sleep, head over to www.bminerals.com and use code Cynthia for 20% off your first order. That's www.bminerals.com and use code Cynthia for 20% off your first order. Today's podcast is sponsored by NutriSense. It combines cutting-edge technology and human expertise so you can see how your body responds to different types of nutrition, stress, exercise, sleep, and where you are in your menstrual cycle in real time. And by pairing a continuous glucose monitor with their app and expert nutritional guidance, NutriSense can help you reach your health goals. And the best part is it's not just a program where they send you the CGM and you have to figure it out on your own. Each subscription plan includes 1 month of free expert nutritionist support. Your nutritionist will work with you one-on-one, interpreting your data and providing customized advice to help you reach your health goals. The last time I had my CGM on, my registered dietitian and I troubleshooted over some specific concerns that I had. And whether you're aiming to lose weight, stabilize your energy, or just feel better overall, NutriSense offers the guidance and support you need. And lasting sustainable change takes time and can be achieved through a longer-term subscription. That's why I encourage my patients and clients to consider 3, 6, or 12-month subscriptions where it's actually less expensive and allows you to not only achieve your goals, but also to ensure that you stick to your healthy lifestyle for the long term. As I've mentioned before, I have found the CGMs I've used through NutriSense to be incredibly insightful, specifically to carbohydrate tolerance. I would not have known that plantains spiked my blood sugar without this information. It's also been hugely helpful for tailoring to workouts and sleep quality. And so for me, even though I am metabolically healthy, I find the insights to be particularly helpful to tailor my lifestyle changes to my blood sugar. Visit NutriSense.io/EWP and use the code EWP for $30 off plus 1 month of free nutritionist support. Be sure to let them know you're a listener of the Everyday Wellness podcast when they ask you how you heard about them. This is one of my favorite ways to take care of my health and one of my top recommendations for all of my patients and clients. One of the pieces that's important is that we need the tryptophan to actually, you know, cross, get the actual tryptophan to be activated in the brain. So, As Kelly mentioned, you know, just making sure that we're mindful about our macros. So, you know, good quality carbohydrates, good quality protein, healthy fats. Don't be afraid of fats. We're not fat phobic here. In fact, we try to go against the old conventional dogma that fat is bad. Fat is good. It's quality of fats that's important. So having a little bit of butter on some vegetables that you have with your turkey would be a good option. But even things like nuts and things like that can be hugely beneficial.
Yeah. One of my favorites this time of year is sweet potatoes with coconut oil.
That's, oh, yum.
Yeah, that's a yummy one. All right. Anything else to say about the basics of nutrition for treating with the winter blues?
No, other than, you know, like the traditional therapies that I figured we would probably talk about really briefly.
Yeah.
You know, so there's like four big mainstays, you know, from what I read in the research literature. And one was light box therapy, which a lot of people do. And, you know, it's what you want is 10,000 lux, L-U-X, of full spectrum light. There's even some references to cool white fluorescent light. I'm not a huge fan of fluorescent lighting because we recognize it's junk light and our eyes don't really know what to process with it. However, under these circumstances, you just go with what your budget, you know, allows for. But then also things like exercise is really important, you know, not only to make you tired, but also to kind of get you out and get you moving. Because that's the other piece that starts to happen is that people kind of go into hibernation mode where they're in the dark. You know, they're not exposed to light, they're cold, so they're not really moving as much. You know, your basal metabolic rate actually slows down in the winter. So, you know, summertime is generally when people are more active, they can have more discretionary calories, and then people tend to overeat in the winter, which is when they'll build up a little layer of fluff, and then they're all trying to lose it in the spring and summer. So I would just encourage people to be mindful of just moving their body every day. And what I found interesting is that, you know, kind of conventional Western medicine treatments, medication-wise, are things like beta blockers and selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And I would say try to do everything you can first before you resort to medication. Obviously, there are times when you have to take those things, but try to do the other things first that can really be beneficial and foundational.
Yeah, I think lifestyle medicine can do so much in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And with the light box therapy, if that is used consistently every morning for about 20 minutes, many people see a difference within the first 1 to 2 weeks. So that's pretty fast.
Yeah, I saw anywhere from like 30 minutes to 2 hours. I'm going to guess most of our listeners probably don't have 2 hours to sit in front of a light box every day. But yeah, absolutely. They talk about the cumulative impact of using that therapy and how helpful it can be. And I think it makes people just feel physically good because they feel warmer, and light on their face, you know, probably brings them back to summertime when they're outside with their family or just doing activities. So I think there are multiple reasons why that can be beneficial and desirable.
Yeah. And I think the thing that I learned about it is that it's great if you have the time just to sit there and kind of have it at your side so that you're getting the light but not staring directly at it. But you can also have it on your counter while you're making breakfast or on your desk if you're doing computer work. Any time that you can get more of that light in is great. And so we talked about the basics of nutrition and sleep and the light box therapy and movement. I have a few other ancillary things like getting social connection, which we can often tie to movement, going out and doing things with friends, going for walks with friends and things like that, just being connected. And then also really thinking about how your thoughts, not a big surprise that I'm going to talk about thoughts, but thinking about how your thoughts about the winter months and about what you're doing are influencing how you're feeling. So I have more details on a recent blog post, so you can get that at everydaytherapist.com/blog, and I'll put a link below or have a presentation that you can get, either a PDF or a narrated presentation. And of course, we both think this is super important, so if you have any questions about this, feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I think this is a really timely topic and definitely something that we're hoping we can bring, you know, kind of current events or current issues that are coming up for our clients and patients to you all. So definitely keep us posted if there's something you want us to discuss.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can find out more about Cynthia and her work at chtwellness.com. And you can find out more about Kelly and her work at everydaytherapist.com. In addition, if you have questions for us or topics you'd like us to address, please email us at everydaywellnesspodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, be well.